and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, a day 445. How are we all doing? Apparently it's all over, you know, Mike.
What is?
A COVID thing. Apple's going back to work.
Ah.
All the little Apple employees are heading back to work. Do you know, I looked at the picture of Apple Park and I thought, was that really a wise investment of all that money? Mm. When everyone could just work at home and be happier doing it. But that could just be me. So, let me refresh this chat and see who was first.
Kimmy. Oh,
Kim, congratulations. Closely followed by Jonathan, who I'm assured has probably been refreshing like crazy. Haven't you, young Jonathan? Oh, it's far too hot in Manchester, by the way, as I am pretty confident young Jonathan will confirm. It's hideous. Mind you, Jonathan, don't you live near water, so it might be nice and cool? It's not here. No, it's
we
like...
We live near water.
Hmm?
We live near water.
Not imminently, not close enough.
No, but...
Not to be concerned about, like
when,
a flood.
Well, when we had the floods, we were a bit concerned.
Yes, but we were dry.
Sure.
So, no, it doesn't count, Mike. Anyway, hello Kim, hello Jonathan, hello Deb, hello Simon.
I think she's happily stuffed.
I'm not surprised with all she's eaten. Mm. Lola is not starving, do not let her tell you otherwise. Little madam, little madam. Right, who else have we got? We've got Dee. Hello Dee, hello Renee. Oh, and he's sneezing again. Jonathan says it's not as warm as yesterday, but it's still pretty warm. What have we got in here? No, yeah, you're quite right.
What does Izzy say?
It's still oppressive. Oh, pass me Izzy and let's see what Izzy says. Izzy's my panda from Israel.
Izzy says it's way too hot.
Have you seen the colour Izzy is? Izzy started off white.
Yes, that's Izzy.
It's Izzy, Izzy the panda. It's all right, it's not going up your backside. Right, let's have a look at it. What is it in old money? What is it in new money? Can we just say, far too hot. Right, Izzy says 84. Yeah, that's what I thought, Izzy. Not good.
Thank you, Kim.
That white is shocking, isn't it? It's actually
you're in
yellow.
Trouble.
Who?
You.
Why? What have I done now?
Read the chat.
Oh, what have I done? Hang on.
You didn't say bless you when I sneezed.
Oh, right. No. No, I didn't. Mike sneezes constantly. I'd never be saying anything else.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So do you.
I do not. We're getting to recriminations here and a domestic at this, right? Right, I'm taking a picture of Izzy, so you know what on earth we're talking about. When I started at university, I was going backwards and forwards, like 4 or 5 times a week, which is a long journey. To London and back again, about 450-60 miles. So I was in this lecture with this lady, and she was a mature student, so she must have been in her mid-40s then, and she couldn't believe it. She could not believe that I would drive from Manchester and do a full day's work and then drive home from Manchester. So she said, are you doing the weekend thing? So I said, yeah. So she'd stay with me. She said, well, actually, not with me, with my mum. And I'm like, what? And apparently she'd bought a flat, and then it was like a maisonette thing, and then the top floor flat became available, so her mum rented her house out and moved in. So obviously when the mum passed on, because she was nearly 90, this thing could be converted back into one huge house. So she said, we've got plenty of room, you know, I'm not having you travelling backwards and forwards. So I gets there. This is so funny. Jonathan will appreciate this. You know, you remember I said when they asked me at school what religion I was, I'm like, well, is there a difference? I gets there and I picks up a newspaper and I puts it on the desk. This was like 3 or 4 weeks after I'd been staying there. And I looked at the mantelpiece and I looked at this newspaper and I thought, I wonder if they're Jewish. There was a mezuzah on the door, there was a menorah on the shelf, and this newspaper
and the JC gave it away.
This was a Jewish Telegraph. And I thought, yeah, actually they could be Jewish, couldn't they? I didn't think about that. What difference does it make? But yeah, that was so funny. So they went off to Israel, and it was 89 it was. And it was scary stuff. We took them to the airport and they were flying El Al. And there's no check-in desk. For security, there was no check-in desk. So we're wandering up and down this concourse, like, well, where do we check in with this luggage? So we made the fatal mistake of asking somebody. Somebody who worked for the airport, and it was like, what do you want to know for? We're like, where's the El Al check-in desk? What do you want to know for? Because we're flying with them. Well, there was four of us in the party, and two were flying with them. They were so, so hyper with security. But it was also the time that they just deployed armed officers at Heathrow. So when we went into the departure lounge, there was a tank outside, and they were walking round, like, four of them back to back with these huge automatic weapons. It was scary. Never seen anything like it. Only been to Heathrow once. No need to go back again. Right.
When I was coming back from Israel, and that was 1984, I think, when I was on that organised tour, at the airport, they unzipped your cases and asked you if you'd packed the stuff yourself and if anybody had asked you to put anything in your case.
We had all of that as well.
And do you understand why we're asking you?
Oh, crying out loud. Actually, there's a funny add-on to that. They flew out El Al, but they flew back British Airways. Now, bearing in mind, this flight was direct from Tel Aviv into London. You know how they feed you? Yeah. They were ham sandwiches. She went absolutely spare, quite understandably. There was no alternative to ham sandwiches. And I said, well, what if, well, obviously you're kosher. I said, but what if you were vegan or vegetarian?
Well, halal.
They suggested you took the ham off and ate the bread. That's British Airways for you.
And what if you were gluten intolerant? What if you were a gluten intolerant vegan Jew?
Well, there was a plastic bag that it came in if you fancied eating that. She went absolutely spare. She complained vehemently on the flight. And then when she got back, she wrote this snottogram. That's just poor, isn't it? Right, let me get the link for Izzy. So the crux of the story was, when they came back, they brought Izzy with them because they knew that I love pandas. And 33 years later, I've still got him. So that's why he's looking a little bit yellow round the edges. But that's Izzy. And Izzy lives in the office with the chain pinned to a pin board, telling us that it's far, far, far too hot. We have actually about seven... There's that idiot with the car again.
But he's happy.
About 7 or 8 years ago, we had a really hot summer. And I'd agreed to do these two sessions, do you remember, for the Institute?
Yeah.
The Institute, well, at the time it was IT training. Now it's the Learning and Performance Institute. Which sounds rather dodgy to me. And we had to close all the windows, we had to turn the fans off. And Izzy actually got to the top, which is 122 degrees. So it was 122 degrees in here. I think it was about, is that about 52 or 60? About 52 centigrade. We were nearly passing out. That was a bad day. That was a bad day. Isn't Izzy cute? Izzy used to be white, but as you can see, the face of the actual thermometer is still white, but the rest of Izzy has gone like a yellowy colour. But at the bottom it says, let's get that, from Israel with love. So he's Izzy from Israel, hence Izzy. Oh, so he's lived there ever since. And do you know, it's still working. And yet, how many digital ones have I gone through?
Mm.
About 20, probably. Oh, hello, Anthony. Hello, Tony. So what's everybody been up to in this alarmingly good weather? Or indeed, alarmingly bad weather, depending on where you are.
Well, I sacked Wendy.
Yes, Mike sacked Wendy off. Poor Wendy. Wendy thought she was coming to visit. See Sweet Pea. But she's not. No, she's not.
That's because they had nothing in. Out of stock, out of stock, out of stock. There was no lettuce. There was no spinach.
Night, Jonathan. Oh, yes, it's Two Show Friday. So go on. What else wasn't there?
I don't know. I gave up at that point.
Was it Tesco last week who sent the wrong water?
Yeah.
So what do they do with it? Right, so the situation is, Mike ordered water. This is not rocket science. It's in a bottle of 2 litres. Mm. And it's the cheapest and cheerfulest one that there is, because I'm not bothered and I don't want anything fizzy. So they send some kind of expensive brand that's 1.5 litres. And what do they charge you?
Well, whatever the cheapest is.
But you're actually getting less water.
Yeah.
That's clever. Mm. Oh, right. Hmm. So I could sell a course that's 6 hours, but actually only ship 3 and just sort of say, well, yeah, but it was more intense.
Yeah.
I talked faster. Oh, watching YouTube the other night, I had this video on, and I thought, good grief, this guy's going fast. So I thought, have I got it on like 3 speed? Which would be, that'd be typical of me. I checked. No, I hadn't. So I thought, he's going definitely far too fast. The thing had got stuck. It was showing as normal, but whatever I'd last had it on, and it was stuck and he wouldn't stop. Even refreshing did me no good at all. I had to reboot the thing. Imagine, that was the story of my life yesterday, wasn't it? Reboot it, reboot it, reboot it. And when you're done, can you reboot it again? Which is pretty much where I'm up to today. Oh, I've got an email here that Tony would be interested in. It's from Dunelm. Now, the reason I've got... Well, actually, technically, I haven't got an email. It's my mum. I never unsubscribed her, and her email's still alive. So it's from Dunelm, and it says, Carpet DM, and the flogging carpets and rugs. Oh, that's bad. It looks like... Oh, is it Sisal or Sisal? Oh, they're terrible. No, it's all right, Tony. You're not out of business. They are shocking. Shockingly bad. Right, that's me up to date with that then, I think. Yeah, it's been a busy day with sessions again. Yesterday was the quiet day. So today it's ramping up again. But the end is in sight. Finishes next Wednesday, I think, in the small hours. Small hours of Wednesday. So about 3:30 in the morning on Wednesday. So I will be having a little party. Obviously, there'll only be me here, because everybody else with any sense will be in bed. But I will be celebrating on my own. So what have you all been up to? Carpet DM, how tacky. That's Dunelm. Not known for the one thing that Dunelm do right is the poppy stuff. That's pretty much all we buy there. But I didn't think they sold carpet. Not like carpet, right? But they're saying carpet and they're saying rugs. But when you look at the rugs, they're like... The kind of thing that we used to have outside, do you remember? A heavy, heavy doormat outside that Dad would like clean his boots on. Like that stuff. But who wants that in the living room? These things are not good. They've got weirdy patterns on them. It looks like a doormat, only it's huge. So I think you're supposed to put this thing in the middle of your room. Which, with a nice pattern on it, maybe, but not the patterns they've got. We did see that beautiful rug, didn't we? Oh, I wanted it. It was nice. Do you remember the red rose one?
Yeah.
That was gorgeous, wasn't it?
I don't know why we didn't get it.
I think it was a case of, there were 2 sizes. One we knew would definitely fit. The other was like possibly a tinge big, but it was really nice. It wasn't cheap either, though, was it? I mean, when you say a rug... This thing was about £160, which is like, that's all it's money for a rug. Mind you, probably Tony's about to tell me that's nothing for a rug. What do we think of £160 for a rug, Tony? Would you remember my mum? She was the one who did all of the buying of that kind of stuff. So I've never actually moved into a house and like set it up from nothing. So it's like, there's something on the floor, it'll do. And I'm not bothered. But she was like an aficionado with it all. It all had to be absolutely, totally perfect. But if I'd have said to her, there's a rug and it's £160, she'd have been mortified. Do you remember that rug you had, the genuine Bedouin birthing blanket?
Yeah.
I decided to buy this rug. And at the time, there was an advert on the TV. Can we find that on YouTube? It was an advert for MasterCard, I think. And they'd got Rowan Atkinson to do it. And he did it in the character of a film that he did. Is it Johnny English? Was it MasterCard? Let's have a look, see if I can find it. And, it was Barclay Card, not MasterCard. Right, now one of these, it doesn't differentiate. So it's like about 1.5 minutes long, these. Oh, hang on, there it is, it's that one. And he's in some kind of foreign country. Oh, this is a good quality one as well, I think. This is Ad School Research Series, so let me check it's the right one. It is. So he's in some foreign country, and oh, he's with his mate as well. Yeah, Johnny English he is. And he goes in, and he's after this rug, but he calls it a genuine Bedouin birthing blanket with a pattern on it. Let's get this link pasted in. It's only about a minute and a half. 1 minute 15. And I just love the ad. Well, the thing was, Mike then decided he was buying this rug, and it was a circular thing. But it had a pattern on it that so reminded me of this Barclay card ad. So I called it the genuine Bedouin birthing blanket. As per this ad. You've got to see it. It's so funny. Hang around till the very end of the ad, because that's the funny bit. As he heads off with this rug on his shoulder. So yes, Mike had this genuine Bedouin birthing blanket, which was all its money. But the thing with it was, maybe there's a fix for this, and Tony would know. It's not too bad if it's square or oblong. But if it's circular and it starts like rolling up at the sides, there's not really much you could do short of nailing it down. And I must admit, it was never really my favourite pattern of rug. Anyway, the genuine...
I don't think it was mine either.
I don't know why you bought it. But the genuine Bedouin birthing blanket got binned. But I always remember it. The ad's just fantastic. Oh, Renee has floating mushrooms. Well, of course, mushrooms. Yes. the best price for a rug that Tony's ever sold was £5,500 over 10 years ago. We're clearly not in the same marketplace, are we, Tony? I don't think my lost car cost that. It was 22 years ago, but that's not the point. I'm not one for spending that car. I mean, you walk on it, don't you? I assume this was something absolutely fabulous, of which I am completely unaware. But no, that won't be happening. Rug's worth more than me. Oh no, Dee, you're priceless. Don't ever forget that. 1985 will confirm it for you. Exactly, Tony said the same. You're priceless. You are. Oh, she's grumbly now. But she has eaten, and she has eaten enough, trust me. catching up. You were thinking it's a very large rug. This one wasn't for the price. It was just really nice. It had a rose pattern on it. So it had a rose pattern in terms of not just something that was printed on it. This was quite deep. My concern with, like, I thought that looked really nice in the lounge, also looked nice in the office, because obviously my company is Roseway Giles. So anything with a rose on, I'm interested. But it was that thick. I thought there's no way the office chairs are going to roll on it. So I had to leave it. And obviously we've not been back since. Oh, Tony's got rugs that change price on a daily basis. So is it like the stock exchange of rugs? How does that work? I'd have thought the price was based on like the materials or the how cachet it was. Not on a daily basis. That sounds like a fishmonger's, where it depends on the catch. But the rug's already made. Or is it just me? Mind you, over here, when we have a budget, and he puts like 10 pence a litre on fuel, they put the price up straight away. And yet, the fuel in the pump, that was bought at the lower price, so they're profiteering. So give me more details about these rugs. Same as gold. If you sell under the daily price, you're in big bother. Ooh, I did not realise this, Tony. This is fascinating. I thought this was fairly straightforward. You know, it's a rug and there's a price on it. Clearly, I am approaching this totally incorrectly. The rug squad checking price. Ah, Far East rugs, like a genuine Bedouin birthing blanket. You will never look at rugs the same again, Tony. Do check that video out. It's the funniest thing. Oh, Dee, no. I used to see some of the stuff I've got. Doesn't even qualify as a rug half the time. We had got one. I really liked that. You know the exercise mat thing next door? And what we did with it was, it was a black mat, so it wasn't a carpet of any description. It's not a proper rug. But it's this special mat that you put underneath exercise equipment. So it's underneath the exercise bike. And it's supposed to, like, absorb any... I nearly said moisturiser, but that's not what I mean, is it?
Sweat.
No. The stuff that you put on it. Only we've got graphite powder. But you know when you spray, like, WD on it?
Yeah.
You don't want that oil on the carpet. And this rug, this mat thing, is supposed to absorb it. Anyway, it's really nice to walk on because it's like springy. It's like springy rubber. Anyway, about, what, 3-4 months ago, Madam decided that it was too big and she ripped the corner off. She started gnawing at it. In her defence, she does have biscuits that are charcoal. And obviously there was some active charcoal in this thing, but that's not the point. So now it's a unique piece. I sound like estate agents. Describing a house, isn't it?
Yes.
When my aunt was looking for a house and she wanted a detached house.
Zola.
But she also wanted something that was totally finished. She didn't want to decorate, pick up a paintbrush, nothing. And all of these things were carefully worded in such a way of, like, not exactly in a scope for improvement, because that's like an alarm bell. Don't bother looking at that. But they were very carefully worded. And every time they went to see one of these properties, she'd come back with, like, it was far too much work to be done on that one. She was really indignant with her little self. Anyway, my mum and I were going, it's quite weird here. You can get to the other side of the town, the other side of Sale, just by going through the town centre. But there was roadworks on the main road. So because we're very, very close to a motorway junction, just the right distance, we don't get the traffic noise, we don't get the pollution, but we're close enough. It's about a mile away. You can get on the motorway and you can just head east and get off at the next junction. But we didn't do that often because we didn't have a need to. This particular day, I said, I'll go on the motorway and we'll approach it from the back end. And that way we'll avoid this traffic on the main road. So we get to this roundabout, and it's a huge roundabout. I wonder if it's still there. This thing was bad. Right, it's near Sale Water Park, which is where Kath goes for her stuff. So let's have a look at it. There's the ring road. There it is. Let's get Pegman and see if this thing's still there. So like I say, they've actually changed it since, I think. So let me have a look. It may well not be there anymore, because it used to be one huge junction, and what they've done is they've turned it into two smaller roundabouts. So no, sadly it's not there anymore, so I can't show it to you. Let me have a quick look up there. No, it's totally gone. Oh, how annoying. But it was this huge roundabout, and I mean, if you walk round it, it's probably like 3/4 of a mile. But in the middle of it there was this building, and I don't know what it had been, but it wasn't like a house. It was just this small building, but it wasn't like, I really don't know, some kind of oast house or something like that. But it didn't have a roof. It had like the skeletal remains of a roof, but it didn't have a roof. And we went past it, and so I said to my mum, oh, look, there's the perfect place for me auntie. You know, secluded, detached, open air roof. Anyway, it's gone, that one. There was another one, though. I know. If you're not in the UK, you might not be aware of this. Let's see if I can find it. Right, the M62, which goes from Manchester to Leeds. Have you any... there it is. I think it's that, isn't it? I do believe it is. Right, they were building this motorway from Manchester to Leeds. And the story went, there was a farmer and he didn't want to move. So this thing was, you know, cutting through swathes of what was farmland. I think I'm going to have to zoom in a bit, aren't I? There it is. Right, so I'm trying to get this so you can see it. So they finished the motorway and this person did not want to move. So the motorway splits and the house is in the middle of it.
Now.
So I'm going along here trying to find it for you. I mean, it's quite a bit of land that's in the middle. But the farmhouse is in the middle of the motorway. It's a talking point, isn't it, Mike, whenever you're going up that way?
Mm.
Like, so what are they doing at the farm these days? Come on. The road's split, just looking for the farmhouse. Gosh, I didn't realise it was that bad. Is that the farmhouse? I see the farmhouse. So there we go. If you look at that, I'll try. be better as a picky. Can we zoom out a bit? Oh, we don't want to zoom out that far. Oh, well, actually, that would be a good idea. Right. Let's take a picky of that. How are we going to get a picky of that? Or would the link work? So it's showing this link. Test this link and tell me if it's showing the right thing. It's showing. It says the M62 underneath and the M62 on the top and then Stott Hall Farm in the middle. They actually had to build them two access roads. So underneath the motorway towards the top of that picture, you can see that there's a road going underneath the motorway in two places. What they did, Kim, because I thought that, they did some soil analysis. Now, noise-wise, I think they did insulate the thing. But they did some soil analysis for the pollution. And apparently, it's no worse than anywhere else. But it's bizarre when you drive up there that one minute you can see the oncoming traffic, etc. And then it splits and you go downhill and the one opposite goes up. And then you come across this farm. I mean, what would concern me is if there was an almighty accident, what would happen? But yeah, that is still there. And it's changed hands a couple of times as well. I just find it completely bizarre every time we go past. Okay. So one of the jobs that Tony's got going down tomorrow is a herringbone flat weave runner with antique stair rods on a staircase. You'll ask the fitter for a picture and put it on Slack to give an idea what one of the Mac Vices can do without a Mac. Without a Mac? Oh my. Oh, that would never do. Well, I'm presuming herringbone flat weave runner is the runner that goes up the stairs. The antique stair rods will be... Are they like the ones that lift up or are they the ones that go clean across? But they're basically holding the carpet, aren't they? Now, see, that's because my mum did carpets. I have no idea how she managed to teach herself to lay a carpet. I guess desperation is the mother of invention. Because, as you know, she left school at, like, 14 because they didn't have enough money to live. Mind you, my gran kept taking people in. That was the problem. There was my granddad, my gran and my granddad, and they had two kids, my mum and my auntie. But the house had nine in it at one stage, and it was only a two up, two down. She had people sleeping in the bath, all family members. But, you know, this was like post-war and nobody had anywhere to live. So it's not surprising they never had enough money.
Right, I'm going for a
shower.
But she
was very generous. Oh, it's shower time with Mike.
Yeah.
Shall we all come along?
If you like. Broadcast it live like you did with Jane.
We did. We used to shower with Jane. Yeah.
She's now had another rodeo stick.
Oh, Lola, you'll burst. Oh, leave her while she's happy.
Right. Well, she was nudging the bag.
Oh, excuse me, madam. My treats are in that bag. Oh, my word. Am I anywhere near right with that, then? That carpet thing? A black cotton border. Staircases in the States are dressed so differently to the UK. Oh. Whenever I see American stuff, it seems to be large rugs. Or is that just me? Don't forget your rubber duck, Mike. You don't think I allow him toys in the bathroom, do you? He has to concentrate when he's in there, lest there's an accident. What he didn't tell you was he'd already had a shower this morning, so he's got a shower fetish, as Mike. So I'll leave him to it. The thing was, what he said to me was, and I was like, just a minute. He's got a meeting tonight, and it's the guy. You know, the Catanians have different circles. So obviously we're Brooklyn's 196, and there's Manchester 1. Well, this guy is Wilmslow, I think, and he took over being president the year Mike finished. But obviously that was COVID year, so they couldn't do any meetups or anything like that. But he's a really accomplished guy. He's a surgeon. Well, he was a surgeon. He's retired now. He was a surgeon. I don't think it was a heart surgeon. He was a surgeon of some description anyway. And he did the P thing last year. Well, tonight, obviously, they're still doing virtual meetings, and it's his 70th birthday. So he does a stand-up routine, as well as being, you know, running the circle, as well as being... Oh, yeah, I think he also, he does something for charity as well, because he's got a CBE or an MBE, or an OBE. OBE, I think. I think he's got his own Wikipedia page. Quite amazing. That should tell you what his specialisation is. I'll go and have a look. So he's doing that tonight. He's doing this stand-up routine on Zoom. So Mike said, I've got a Zoom meeting tonight. I'm going to have a shower. And I thought, what, during the meeting? And then I twigged what he meant. Anyway, that's where he's headed. I've got to get out fairly early because I've got another meeting. And Mike can't help me with that, can he? Because he's already got another meeting. So to say chaos reigns here is an understatement. But on the upside, my course is coming to a conclusion. Right, I think I need to push some buttons over there that I've not pushed already. Yeah, there you go, you see. You didn't do that either. Right, push the button. Push the button. And there we go. Buttons are pushed. Right, let's get that out of the way. One thing I notice when I'm watching these Scandinoir things is in, and I think it's both, it's usually Denmark and Sweden, the doors open the other way. Everybody's door opens outwards, whereas in the UK, the doors open inwards. How does everybody else's doors open? I particularly noticed it in The Killing and The Bridge. And it was particularly at somebody's front door. So either in an apartment or in a house, without exception, somebody knocks on the door, the person goes to open the door and they have to push it outwards. And I find that really weird because the person who stood on the outside then has to step to one side. So in Britain, it would actually pull inwards so the person outside can stay where they are. And you're moving backwards anyway because you're opening the door. I need to know these things. Let me know, which way does your door open? That sounds very strange, but it's not. It's not. That's a serious question. Because every time I see one of these Scandinoir type sessions or programmes, I'm like, what about other countries? I'm pretty sure America goes our way. But let me know, I could be totally wrong. Could be totally wrong. Right, I've pushed all the buttons and that's working fine. Right. Ah, Kim opens all the outward doors open inwards. That's the way we are. I do mean front doors, yes, but some. What's this about? What's this? Google, listen to a complaint, read the website. Oh, that's fantastic, Tony. Yeah, it's in my to-do box, that. That is fantastic. I was going to suggest that's what you did. They're very, very keen on that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, they don't like taking away reviews. So it's a bit hit and miss, but that's fantastic. I will get back to you with that. The States tend to have white stair risers with stone threads. They have a carpet, they fit it in a way. All the contours of the step and riser stand out. But here we just flow over like a waterfall. How different. Mind you, when Paul was having his house built, there were so many things that were so very different to how they are over here. In terms of... Here you would probably... If you were having a house built, although they'd be like a show house and you could kind of say, I want this, I want that, pretty much you could customise quite a bit of it. Whereas Paul, like, picked the house from a catalogue and then picked a plot to put it on. But the thing was, it made it so easy to build it. It went up in, like, a couple of months. Whereas I've seen people here have extensions built. So the house is already there. And they're just having an extension put on it. And it takes months and months, sometimes over a year, which seems utterly ridiculous. But Paul's went up in about 6-7 months and we all followed along. It was fantastic. And I think you could even choose the decor if you wanted. And there was a walkthrough. We all did that as well. We all did the walkthrough. 3D walkthrough where you could actually walk through this house. Completed. It all had furniture in and everything else. I don't think you got a choice to say like what colours you would want and then see it like that. But you could certainly walk through it. And he did have a few changes made where he switched where the doors were. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I had my eye, first of all, because Paul wanted like a man cave. I had my eye on the basement, but that was spoken for. Then I spotted this triple garage and thought, what a waste to put cars in there. But apparently that was spoken for as well. So Paul ended up in an upstairs room, but I had other ideas. It'd be fantastic in a basement. One, it'd be cool. And two, the soundproofing. You wouldn't hear the idiot with the bike going past outside, would you? Like I have to tolerate. So that would have been rather nice, but not possible this time. And we don't have a basement. My gran did, but it was more of a cellar thing. But that actually got put to use because we were talking about carpentry before, weren't we, or yesterday? My uncle, was he my second? Oh, uncle of some description. I think he was my mum's cousin. What would that... there you go, Kim. What would that make him to me? If he's my mum's cousin, is he my cousin twice removed or something? I've no idea.
He was her second cousin.
I don't know. It's all confusing. See, he was nice. The people that we knew then, I know I've got relatives now. I must have dozens of cousins. Wouldn't know them if I fell over them. They wouldn't know me either. So there's only one cousin whose name I know. Beyond that, I don't even know anybody's name. But anyway, he was big into carpentry, and he turned the cellar into, which was lovely and cool, into this woodworking space. The stuff he made was amazing. He made this doll's house once, and I think it sold back then, and we're talking around the time my mum got married. So we're talking 1956. It sold then for about £250. The craftsmanship, you know, took so long. Huge, huge rewards for this work, but they were amazing. I only wish we'd had, like, proper cameras where you could actually get close-ups of it. So there was, like, one picture, and it was him, like, stood next to it, and this thing was as tall as he was. And he was tall, about 6'3", 6'4". It was beautiful, but there were no photographs of the details, and I would have loved to have seen it. He was amazing.
Right, people are asking in the chat if I showered, and yes, I have.
And
I've washed behind my ears.
And go on, carry on.
And I've rinsed my hair.
And he sat here in a towel and nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
See, I do hope nobody's eating. Yes, you see Lola saying, I'm too young to see this.
I've got a body for radio.
Oh, haven't we all? But you know, in 1985 I didn't. In 1985 I looked amazing. I'll have to dig out my college entrance thing. I've still got my college ID from 1985. I looked amazing, if I say so myself. It was all downhill from there. But
take her out again.
In my... put some clothes on before you go in the garden, Mike. Well, you never know round here. Simon and his murder board. You'll have to put it in there. A towel or a bathroom? A towel. Towel wrapped round the waist. There you go. I know. Sorry, Renee. Oh, dear. Second cousin. Right, okay. I always called him Uncle Frank because he was a lot older than me. He was more my mum's age. But yeah, second cousin then. Right, okay. Got that now. Where does the removed bit come into it then? Because you always hear that, don't you? And I'm never quite sure what it means. I have zero desire to learn about the family that I have that are still alive. Because they're not bothered about me and I'm not bothered about them. But it might be interesting to see years gone by. But Nina and Mike are into that. And they did check us out. And Mike's history is fascinating. I think Poland and Russia were involved in his heritage. And mine was really boring. They couldn't find anything. No one had even got locked up for anything. So I'm clearly the first interesting person in the family. That's what I told them anyway. Oh, dear me. Hello, Tracy. So I was a 7'6" to 8' max. I've not actually measured it. I would guess looking at ours, it's more than 8". There's a question for you, Mike.
What?
Grab that tape measure. And measure the height from the ceiling to the floor. We're doing a test here. Oh, and chicken's joining us in testing this, which is fantastic. The children of your aunt are your first cousins. Their children are your first cousins once removed. Oh, right, Tracy.
That's five.
Luckily, well, actually, I probably have, but not the one that I know. The one that I know did get married, but they don't have any children. So I probably do have first cousins once removed, but I am completely and utterly, blissfully unaware of it.
About 8".
I would have thought more than 8". Because the bit above your head looks more than 3 foot.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, that's 3 foot up to the chair.
I wish you could see Mike
Johnson. That's 5 foot, so that's 8.
8 foot, right, okay. The office is 8 foot if that helps anybody. Kim will post a generation chart in Slack again. Excellent. I shall have another look at it. But I know that there were a lot of kids. My uncle had...
Yeah, because I thought Jai was my cousin.
You idiot. Even I knew Jai was your nephew.
Well, I got confused.
You have got cousins, though, haven't you? Or have
you? Yeah, I have.
Now, I've probably got more cousins than you, but not that bothered, not interested. I wonder what they make of it, because at least one of them, surely, must be into genealogy. Yes, Lola. Yes. She's saying she had 6 pups. I wonder what they make of it when they find me, because they don't get in contact. Never mind, it doesn't bother me. There you go. It doesn't bother me.
A towel, Dee.
Yes, I said that. Oh. Wrapped round the waist. That's what I said. Don't put some clothes on before you go in the garden.
Just going back through the chat.
Before you frighten anybody.
I'm doing a Tracy and going back through the chat.
Do you know, things do seem very strangely out of context.
And answering the pertinent questions.
You'll get this. Like last time, it was like, yes, yes, yes. Tracy's like, what? What was the question? But the answer was yes. Just agree. Oh, I've been using the new features of something I'm demonstrating tomorrow night today. Wow. That was life-changing. Always good when an update actually works, isn't it? And it's something that's useful. Instead of this, like, what was the one that OneNote put out? Rainbow ink. I'm like, pardon? Rainbow ink that glittered. Glitter ink in OneNote. I mean, when? Turns out it was for kids. But I'm thinking, I wouldn't have had the cheek to call that a feature. It's glitter ink, rainbow colour. Leave it alone. Mind you, having said that, apparently I've been co-opted to do a demo of OneNote. Yeah, I wondered as well. When was the last time I actually used OneNote in anger? I was angry when I used it, but OneNote in anger. Probably 3 to 4 years ago. Probably 3 and a bit, just before we went to Notion. So I'm showing how an archive works in it. Yay, Kim's put that in Slack. I will have a look at that, thank you. Nephews, your brother's child, cousins, your auntie's child. Ah, now you see, yeah, well, your main aunt didn't have kids, did she? So yeah, Jai's a nephew. Jai's so cool. He is a cool kid, is Jai. Very, very confident. Was he 10? Walking around.
No, he's 12 next week.
Oh, well, he must have been 11 then. Yeah. No, he would have been 10 at the time. Walking around in a Panama hat.
Yeah.
He's just too cool.
My dad's Panama hat.
Yeah, Mike's dad's Panama hat. That he was renowned for. Absolutely renowned for. So, who's seen the mail for tomorrow night? The VIP one's heading out at some point tonight when I've finished it. But everything that we're doing is in the mail. So, who's looking forward to what most? I thought with Kim it might be the Devon Think thing. What else have we got? But the craft thing is so good. Oh, it's so good. They're billing it as one feature, but actually it's two. A bit like Camtasia with that magnetic timeline. They don't know what they've got. They don't know how amazing it is. So it's solved a problem for me at the moment, that one. And what else have I got? Oh, I found another thing as well that I fitted in that isn't in the list. So, surprise! There's another thing as well. Oh, Tracy likes Devon Think too. Ooh. Tracy says some of the family members I get on best with my second cousins. I clearly need to get to know them then, don't I? That's going to be quite difficult. I think they're all in Nottingham. Or in or around Nottingham. I don't know why Nottingham. This was my favourite uncle. He had to do national service, and he did his national service in Germany. And he met a lady over there, and they got married. And then when they came back, they settled in Nottingham. But I don't know why Nottingham. And I would love to know. But I think I was about 14 or 15, and he moved to Canada. And he didn't tell anybody he was moving to Canada. And it turned out he didn't want to move to Canada. But some of his children had moved to Canada. I think two of his own children and their families had moved to Canada. So his wife wanted to move to Canada. So they moved to Canada. But he was so distraught by this move. I've never heard of anybody being quite this bad. He was so distraught by it. One, he didn't tell anybody he'd gone, which was really bad news when you ring in his phone number in the UK to wish him Happy Christmas to find out he don't live there anymore. And the people who answered the phone said, well, he emigrated to Canada. It's like, well, why didn't he say anything? But he didn't. But when he got to Canada, he hated it. He absolutely loathed it to the point it made him ill. And he was at the doctor's, and then I think the wife went, and the doctor said to the wife, if you don't get him home to England, he isn't going to be here much longer. He can't cope. He's just not happy in Canada. Not for any particular reason. It was nothing against the Canadians. He was just that kind of person that likes his home comforts. So they did actually end up moving back here, but they were quite right. He worried himself to death while he was there. He came back and they diagnosed him with liver cancer straight away. So the doctor was quite right. He said he will die with some kind of like worry thing if you don't get him back home. And it was too late. And he died about a week before my graduation, didn't he?
He did.
So I would have loved to have had a conversation with him about it all, but sadly, no. And after that, never really. They just lived too far away. You know, I mean, now it would be ridiculous because you'd be all on Facebook. But back then, you didn't particularly know them because they lived far away. So, unfortunately, that was that. I have never been to Canada. Mike's done Canada. But Canada looks nice. I like the kind of open spaces and stuff. It seems a nice place. But there's Canadian French as well, isn't there? So a lot of the stuff's in French, which would obviously be a huge hindrance to me. But I am fluent. Oh, I'm fluent in a new language now, aren't I, after last night?
Yes.
I made this code in Typinator, which was grand when it was working.
Fluent in bad words.
Oh, I was very fluent in bad words.
Right, I'll see you later.
See you later. He's got some clothes on now, don't panic. When I put this code in, if I delete the first part of this code, it works fine. But YouTube have changed something, which means I need to change my code. What a living nightmare. It was like, I was saying to Mike, I know I could get the right-hand side of the string, but it's not a predictable length. So I'd have to take the left-hand side of the string and remove it. But if the language doesn't have a function for doing that, what can I do? Nothing is the answer. And the syntax, there was no help with the syntax whatsoever. So it'd be like being given a book full of words in no particular order, with no particular guidance, and trying to string together a coherent sentence. But unlike language, where you could get it 90% of the way there and you know, gesticulate for the rest, with code, it's got to be absolutely precise, to the last full stop. And when you've got nothing to guide you, that's a nightmare. So I did it overnight and I thought, I think we're there. And I left it for Mike to test. Because when you're testing it, if you're testing it in your own browser, stuff can be cached and it can look like it's okay and it's not okay. So I left it for him to test. And he said at first it's working. And then he said, actually, there was two entries for each one. He said the top entry for each one is working, but the next one is not working. So I then had to start again. So what I'd done was I'd had 2 hours sleep. I then got up for a session. And then after the session, I had to go back and hit this code again. At which point, I think I played with it for about another hour and it's perfect. So good news is it's perfect. Too long didn't read version. It's working. Oh, full story. Living nightmare. Anyway, it's all right now. I've just seen something mentioned of Montreal. I've not even seen that many pictures of Canada. I think I might recognise Vancouver, but only because I was flying around Google Earth and I thought it was Seattle. They've got this tower. It looks like Seattle. But that was as near as I got. Oh, and Niagara around, is it the Great Lakes or Niagara or something? I saw a bit of that. I need to look at Canada. I have fond memories of Canada because I due south. Loved it. The Mountie, Benton. Benton Fraser. Loved it. absolutely love that. And that was between Chicago and Canada. Canada, the weather might suit me. It looked cold. This bit I saw, there was lots of snow, and I thought, that's me. I think there's more to it when you leave a country, though, and you go to another country. I mean, if you're going because your family's there, then great. But some people are just home people, home birds, we call them. I remember a lady that I met at the football, and she'd lived in the same house since the day she got married in Salford, little tiny two up, two down. And she couldn't believe that Mike, oh, and she worked here in a factory opposite. So it sounds exactly like Coronation Street, if you've ever seen that. She could not believe that Mike went to Liverpool for one day's work, or he went to Leeds for one day's work. That to her was further than she went for a holiday. And she was happy in that little environment. When you think about it now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because if people weren't travelling half the world, the planet wouldn't be in the state it's in. And she, I mean, to go into Manchester was a big deal for her. And that was all of about 3 miles. But she was happy. She was happy in her little bubble. And then her granddaughter went to do, I think it was like au pair work for a year in the States. And it totally turned the girl's life round. The lifestyle difference, over here it's cold. And you're all wrapped up and bundled up and you're eating like your fish and chips on a Friday night. She went out, and I think it was somewhere near California, and she'd never known like weather like that and how easy it was to like go to the gym and things like that. So after about 6 months, she had some pictures, and this girl did not look like the same girl. She was half the size she was, and she was just, you know, all American girl. She'd got blonde hair by this stage and a tan. Like, whoa, is that your granddaughter? She looked totally different. And she met this guy, I think he was in the army, and they got married. So obviously she stayed out there. And the grandmother was bereft because, you know, if she thought Liverpool was away, which is about 40 miles, and Leeds, which is also about 40 miles, America was something else. Then the girl had a baby and they decided they would go visit. And she really had become very confident. When she was here, you know, I mean, she when she left, she was 16. So she was a child. But she'd become so confident. They booked a holiday without telling her. Right, they were going to do Disneyland somewhere down Florida and go visit and meet the baby. And you know, like some people are when they've had a baby, the last thing you want is to have to put your slap on and entertain the family. And she just said, no, I don't want you here yet. I'm not ready for a visit. But by then they were in Florida. So they had to come back without meeting the baby. And I thought, well, maybe it would have been a good idea to ask first. But I thought, what confidence that must have taken, given the fact they were already there. You know what family are like, just rocking up on your doorstep and you're like, no, didn't fancy a visit. But they actually just turned up. Unbelievable. Okay, I am catching up with here. You've all got relatives all over the place. I'm sure I must have relatives in Canada, but it was in the middle of nowhere, so I don't know. California's very nice. You lived in San Diego for a while. I've seen beautiful pictures and stuff. I just think, and I know that there are like in the houses, in the offices, in the malls, in the cars, you've got air conditioning, which is not a thing here. I wish it was, but it's not. But I always think like, I can't imagine stepping out of your front door and it being like 300 in the shade. Really don't fancy that. Anyway, last news item of the day that I spotted today. Apparently, you're sending the president over to visit the Queen. I think it's the 13th president that she will have met. The last one went really well. He stood in front of her. You don't ever stand in front of the Queen. But never mind. I'm sure this one will go down fine. As long as he isn't bringing his dogs with him. Oh, Kim, swam outdoors every day. Oh, I know you love your swimming. That would be great, wouldn't it? No, we don't really have anywhere like that here. Not even beaches. Beaches are not exactly the best. Some are better than others, but not really all of them. Right, okay then. Well, I am going to have to head off because I need to be somewhere on the hour. But we will be back with you tomorrow when it is Jonathan's favourite day of the week, Two Show Friday. So hopefully you'll be able to be with us for both. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me, and I will say goodnight from Mike. We will see you next time. Stay safe, guys.